This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind Original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a WIP afternoon show. Oh, sorry. Can't hear it. It's me, not you.
First day doing the show? Yeah, it's all right.
It's a WIP afternoon show. We like Spike and Fritz.
Don't sound so disappointed. He talked right over the return.
Because I couldn't hear.
Because he can't hear.
Yeah.
And it's the Icarus meet and greet.
Yeah. Well, no, that part doesn't bother me. But the not here, yeah, whatever.
I was going to say, where's my security at?
Yeah. We got Brazier.
So we are here in Philadelphia. No, we're not. I give up. We're here in Clearwater for Philly spring training. That coverage brought to you by Surfside Iced Tea and Vodka, proud partner of the Philadelphia Phillies. But nothing can stop Tuesdays with Elliott. And nothing can stop the Eagles from making news, no matter what we are, what we're doing, no matter where we are. Elliott's appearance brought to you by Groundworks. If wet field conditions are causing havoc on your home, book a free inspection at groundworks.com. Elliott, we have news again, my friend.
The Eagles never, ever keep it boring, do they? Every time I think I'm going to get a day off, they do something. So I'm excited to be on and talk to you guys.
So, Elliott, $36 million guaranteed. So, yes. So over with a two-year extension. So explain this to me. Do you have any inkling of how this works from a cap standpoint and where this leaves the Eagles this year from a cap space perspective?
Yeah, so obviously, this just happened a half hour ago. I've not seen the contract yet. I've not gotten a concrete answer on the exact cap ramification. So,
I will lock in then.
Well, yeah, I'm sorry. Not all of us can ride the hot dog cart with the Fanatic, you know, during the day.
Only in the important stuff.
Exactly. Yeah. But no, here's what I would say. And I feel like this is a good, educated, informed guess on what's going to happen here. So he gets $36 million in guaranteed money. My guess is some of that was money that he was likely going to earn already that they guaranteed. I don't think this is $36 million in new money that he's getting. Okay. I would also guess that from a cap standpoint, because they can add more years to the contract, and because now he has a new signing bonus, essentially, you're going to see his $13 million cap hit go down. So from my perspective, this deal makes sense for both sides. First, before we get into like more of it, but for Saquon, obviously he gets money guaranteed. He just had an awesome year. Like, he earned the extension, right? So he earned that money. From the Eagles' perspective, I think there's two benefits for it. One is you likely do lower his cap hit this year. So his cap hit was about $13 million. I would guess it's probably going to go down $4 or $5 million, something like that, which isn't a massive amount of cap space, but it's a possibility they open up a little room there. They already had $26 million in cap space, so now they're up over $30 million, if my guess is correct on that. So there's that incentive. But I also think a surprise kind of incentive for the Eagles that I am personally surprised they did is I do think it sets a precedent and it shows, like, if you come to the Eagles and you ball out for 1 year, like, they will pay you. Now, the risk of that, obviously, is, like, Hassan Reddick's probably seeing this news and thinking, man, like,
That's what I was thinking.
I wish I would have, you know, gotten that deal. And if I'm Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, I'm looking at this and going, well, I had a pretty good year myself, I think. Like, I was a big culture guy and all that. So I think that there are positives to paying someone after a year. Like, if I'm Myles Garrett, I'm probably saying, wow, look at the Eagles taking care of their players. And Saquon obviously earned it and is a unique case. I get that. But I think that the the surprising risk to this for me with the Eagles is it does set a precedent that wasn't there before in terms of contracts and players at least going and asking.
I think the one thing I would push back on is, and I'm glad they gave Saquon the money. 100%, he wanted, you know, without Saquon Barkley, they don't win the Super Bowl. You could say that about a lot of players, but for him more than any other player on the Philadelphia Eagles last year. 100%. The one thing that I will push back on is he earned the money. So, you know, good contracts are contracts that pay players for the future, don't pay players for what they did. It seems like, to an extent, when you consider his age, when you consider his use last year, they are paying Saquon for what he did, not what he will do. And that is something that, if you ask general managers generally, that is not the way that you want to hand out contracts, for what he did rather than what he will do.
So I agree with that assessment. I think that coming off the year Saquon just had, it's hard for me to imagine he would have a better year. And obviously he won the Super Bowl, he set the record. Like, he doesn't have to be what he was last year to be worth this contract. But I agree. I think very rarely do the Eagles make a deal and I'm initially confused as to why they made it. This was very surprising to me. Like, in my time covering Howie, I was surprised.
Normally just blindly go along with it.
Yep. Well, it's exactly right. Yeah, it's exactly right. But, no, I mean, but in all seriousness, like, I do agree with you on that. Like, he already got a huge signing bonus last offseason. He, you know, he was already one of the higher paid running backs. So, to do it, you wonder if this is something Saquon's camp really, really pushed for, in which case you're risking, like, a guy that is a huge leader in the locker room, a key part of the team. Like, maybe you're thinking about that. So, yeah, that would be it. But I agree with you that as free agency comes, and we talk about this a lot with Milton Williams. Like, Milton Williams, I think, is a great free agent signing for any team because you're paying for what's ahead of him. This feels a little right. bit like rewarding last season and banking on him being the same player when, like, statistically, and you brought this up a lot, Spike, like, analytics or the history does show that traditionally running backs after this type of season do fall off.
And just like, before you go ask ahead, your question, per Jeff Skaversky, who just scooped you, Jeff Skaversky.
Yeah, so I don't think this is correct, for what it's worth, but you can read.
Uh-oh.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
Battle it out.
Wow, reporter on reporter crime.
By the way, Jeff Kerr is saying the same thing, but that
yeah, I think
it
this
basically
is going around. Yeah.
Okay, all right. That Saquon Barkley, this is per him, per nobody else. He was on the books for 13.5, and this cuts his cap hit to 7.3. So
that would be brilliant.
For this year, yeah, would have created cap space. Yeah. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, I was just going to say, how does this impact? I know it's still early, and it's hard for you to even answer some of these questions, but free agency is right around the corner. We're talking a couple weeks from now. I'm wondering if this move, or do you feel like this move was made to potentially keep somebody, or are they still, or do you believe they're looking at a Myles Garrett move? Because if they're trying to create more salary cap space, they obviously plan to spend money somewhere, whether it's on their own free agents or the big trade that we all been discussing in Myles Garrett.
Yeah, so I truly believe this move was made to reward Saquon. Like, that was the reason they made the move. Now, the other part of that, to what you're saying, though, and where I do think some of these tweets will end up being correct, even though I believe they're guessing. I don't think this is informed opinions. But, like, they likely will open up cap space, because when you redo a deal, you do lower the initial cap hit. So they will open up cap space. But the other part of this, too, is, and again, having not seen the contract, I'd assume there's a pretty big signing bonus check being handed over here. So this is cash being handed out by the Eagles to Saquon that, if you don't redo the deal, it's not cash you're handing to somebody else. So I don't think this was done with the idea of opening cap space and because of free agents in mind. I think this was done because they wanted to reward Saquon, and that's why.
But you do believe it could help.
I think it will open cap space. Yeah, so I think it'll open cap space. Okay. It'll open, my guess would be, around $5 million in cap space. And then I do think a benefit to what you're saying, to do it a week before free agency, if I'm Myles Garrett or if I'm another player they're targeting – the Eagles can go to any agent now and say, look what we just did for Saquon. Like, if you come here and you play well, not only will you have a chance to win, but we will pay you. Like, the Eagles have reinforced to the entire NFL they are not at all a cheap team. Not that they were viewed that way. But now they can go to everybody and say, look at this, all this money we're paying Saquon. You come here and have a great year? Like, yeah, we'll pay you. We'll take care of you. And I do think there is that benefit to doing this. But I don't think this was done because of cap relief, no.
Well, now, but they could have done it. You would agree they could have done his extension anytime this offseason.
Yeah, for sure.
Under contract. They didn't have to do it right now.
Correct, yeah. And it will open up cap space, but also there's a certain amount of money they have allocated that they can spend, and they're giving it to Saquon. Yeah, a portion of that money, obviously.
Yep.
So overall, Elliot, your gut, does this end up being a sort of quiet offseason? Do we look back on this offseason? Because you've been doing a good job and I heard on Go Birds Daily, you breaking down, you know, potential edge guys, and I've seen you doing it on Twitter with tackles as well. Do you think this ends up being a mostly quiet offseason? They extend Saquon, they extend Cam Jurgens, they probably bring back Zach Bond and Mekhi Becton, and we are going into next season with essentially the same roster without any big disruptions.
I think that's probably a fair way to put it. Obviously, Myles Garrett, I do think, is a possibility, which would change that. But I don't expect massive roster turnover. But look, I think the Dallas Goedert situation is definitely one worth keeping an eye on. I don't know if you would consider him leaving like a big deal, but that's definitely something I think that in the next 2 weeks or week will probably be solved. So. And
he's on the cap for how much next year, Dallas Goedert?
I don't have his cap hit in front of me, so I don't know.
Okay, but he's probably got void years too, you know, but I don't know what he is on that.
Yeah, he essentially has 1 year left on his deal, and I believe there's either no or almost very little guaranteed money in the contract. So it is a point with him where he is going to want a new deal, and the Eagles likely have to decide if they want to extend him or if they want to move on from him. And that, you know, I think he would hold trade value around the league. So there's that possibility. But overall, I think you'll see the Eagles go after free agents that are not going to be, it's not going to be Bryce Huff and Saquon on day one like it was last year. It'll be guys like more along the line of a Zach Bond. A name I would keep an eye on is Azeez Ojulari he played for the Giants. He is 25.
Yeah, he's a good player.
22 sacks in 46 games. But he's someone, because of the profile, he suffered injuries, so I don't think he'll get paid a ton. He's someone you could go out and give, you know, a 1 year or 2 year prove it deal to.
1 year deal, yeah.
Yeah. Now, here's what I'd say with the 1 year deals, though. If they're not going to extend guys in season, and this seems to be something they feel works for them, where they don't want to disrupt the locker room, then all these one-year deals, like, you got to be a little more careful with that. And I know Zach Bond and Mekhi Becton were shots in the dark. It wasn't like they expected them to be the players they were. But Zach Bond, one-year deal. Mekhi Becton, one-year deal. And now both of these players are probably going to cost more in a week than they would have in week 4 or 5 if you extended them. So we can talk about handing out one-year kind of prove-it deals to players. But if you're not going to extend guys in season, then there is that risk the next offseason of you paying more or losing that player.
Well, one thing I'm happy about, this pretty much assures us, as long as he stays healthy, he's wearing midnight green for the rest of his career.
Yes, I would assume
so. Saquon Barkley,
He's
pretty much not going anywhere else.
Yeah, this definitely cements him as a cornerstone of the team, like, for sure.
Yes, at least financially.
Yeah.
And by the way, Elliot, just a quick Eagles Insider of the Year update. Jeff McClain, a.k.a. the newspaper reporter, reports, don't be surprised if Lane Johnson is next to have his contract reworked, that would give him more guaranteed money and give the Eagles some immediate salary cap space. Johnson is currently signed through 26, and it might not play through the length of his deal if I don't see the end of it. So there you go.
That's an annual thing.
Yeah, look, Elliot.
Why don't you see the end of the tweet?
Oh, I didn't see.
Oh, no, there's a reason why you couldn't see the end of the tweet.
Why?
No, because it was in the text.
I thought you're still blocked.
No, I am. But it was. You can see people's blocked tweets now. Don't worry, I blocked him first.
Okay, good. Yeah, well, I'm glad you won.
You can see people's blocked tweets?
Yeah, it's a new rule.
They changed that. Yeah.
So that's what I figured out when I blocked Spike.
What's the purpose of blocking somebody then?
They can't reply to you.
They can't reply. Yeah. So they can still see all your content, your high-level content.
Right. Yes. Any
which
comment?
Is really what
everybody,
they want.
That, yeah. Everybody that I have blocked can still see.
But they cannot reply to you.
Yes. Which is really all I care about.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Yeah, I don't give a damn if you see it.
Yeah, just leave me alone.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't call me fat.
Yeah, essentially, I don't want to hear from you that I have a face for radio. I get it. Yeah. I'm on the radio. Leave me alone. Elliot, any comment on the newspaper reporter's report as we go down the home stretch in Eagles Insider of the Year? Your Aziz Ojulari thing, it has to happen here.
Yeah, I think that's an awesome report by the newspaper reporter. I'm happy you guys shared that. And I agree. Okay. I think, I think, guess what? They are going to redo players' contracts to open up cap. Like, yeah, I agree. They do it every year. Wow. I agree with that. It's good analysis by him.
I'm with you, E.
Yeah,
I'm with you.
Yeah, some are saying you're going to be the new Les Bowen. You're gonna go start punching other reporters?
No, never. You guys are the one causing all the issues. I'm just chilling. You guys are the ones doing this.
We're the puppeteers.
Yeah, let me tell you, if you hit one of them, you'll get Eagles Insider of the Year, depending on how important that insider is.
And by the way, just to further emphasize the point on Eagles Insider of the Year, one goat is starting to
Oh, I saw. Don't worry. Yeah,
perk up a little.
D-Gun?
Yeah.
And what did D-Gun report?
Something.
Okay.
That I don't have right now, but he's doing something.
Yeah, D-Gun reported.
He reported that Darius Slay could come back to the team.
Let's hear it.
Oh, yeah. And that's the last thing, Elliot, before we let you go. Darius Slay, just give me your odds, you know, percentage chance Darius Slay's on the Eagles next year.
I think it's like 5%. I don't expect Darius Slay to come back. I don't think it makes sense on the field for either side right now. So I think this is a situation where would they close the door? Of course not. They like Darius Slay. Darius Slay likes playing for the Eagles. He likes being in Philadelphia. But I do not think he'll be back.
All right, Elliot. We're going to let you go because it's
sounds
chaos
crazy
here.
There we go. Wow. They hear Elliot's on and the chants begin.
You can listen to the Go Birds podcast wherever you get your podcasts. It's in your feed every weekday morning by 5 a.m. That's most of the time.
Yeah.
Or 6. Depends. So, yeah. Elliot, thank you for the info, and we love you. Appreciate you, brother.
Thank you. Yep, talk to you guys.
I'm at a Phillies game. Why do I need to have on an Eagles hat?
He's like,
where's your Eagles hat? I'm like, I'm at a Phillies game.
This is where we are. Yeah, yes. He still bleeds green.
Doesn't he? He still likes the Eagles, yeah.
Yes. All right, 215-592-9494. Corey in Columbus here on WIP. Sorry it took so long, Corey.
Hey, man, look. We in Clearwater. I ain't even going to touch it yet. I handle it when y'all get back to Philadelphia. You know what I'm saying? I ain't even going to bring it up. I'm just saying, y'all want me to lead these hits off, you know what I'm saying? I'm a little bit more, you know, integral to this show than EST, you know, EST all over.
Well, hold on. I mean, I don't know about that.
Hold on. What do you mean you don't know about that? EST be everywhere. He be holding his scoops out. He be saying one thing in the morning, another thing gonna go birds. One thing, I'm a straight shooter with my boy, you know what I'm saying? I'm here. I sacrifice to be here with my boy, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But anyways, look, Saquon deal, I mean, you got to reward it. I said this earlier in the year. They did it with A.J. Brown. The Philadelphia Eagles learned from the T.O. situation. You see how that was handled. You know, you got a guy to come out and ball from you. Even if you look at a guy like Hassan Reddick. Hassan Reddick, he balled for the Eagles now. He balled on a terrible team. The defense, we went to the Super Bowl, but the year after that, the team wasn't as good. But that's why the Eagles, you know, they were kind of reserved on paying them, and you brought in big man.
Why didn't they give him a deal when he got 19 sacks and they went to the Super Bowl?
Because they lost. You just point that up. Remember, you said they don't do that.
Because they lost. Oh, okay. Okay.
But remember, Ike, you just said it, though. You said, do they do this deal if they lose? Remember?
No, I agree. I just wanted you to say it. That's all.
You did that. Look, hey, man, can I throw my name in the hat? The Insider of the Year? Can I throw it?
You can throw your name in the hat. It's a big hat.
Yeah, what'd you
Listen,
do?
I just cut my name off the little, you know, when on a 8x11 piece of paper, I just cut the little corner off and put my name on it. I don't need a full envelope or nothing like that. You know what I'm saying? But look, I will say this. The Cincinnati Bengals have called about the availability of Dallas Goedert. They had called, you know what I'm saying? Also, I will put this out there. Don't be shocked if the Eagles make a semi and like big move at the quarterback position. I'm not talking about, you know, go out. You know, I'm talking about maybe a guy like Jair Alexander, maybe looking at a guy like DJ Reed. You know what I'm saying? Don't be shocked.
I thought you said quarterback position.
So you're thinking because the Eagles lost their starting corner, they might go get a corner.
Yeah, I'm no.
Is that your insider said, report?
But time out. Don't do it like that because a lot of people out here talk about Keely Ringo and Isaiah Rodgers. And that ain't no significant move. I said significant move.
He said DJ Reed, and yeah, that was a pretty good player.
So don't do me like that, Spike. See?
Wow.
See, Spike, you always
yeah.
try to poo-poo on me. You
Jair Alexander, that's a pretty good player.
You try to poo-poo on me, but it's cool, Spike. You know what I'm saying? You know, hey, man, I was one of the most right callers when it comes to this stuff last year, but y'all ain't want to give me my credit. But it's all cool. I ain't over here begging for credit. You know what I'm saying? But
not at all.
Listen, this is why y'all put me at the leadoff hitter, because I got to change it up, because I was ready to kill the Phillies. I had a whole thing ready for them, and then Saquon broke the news, because Jack ain't want to hear it. Jack out there, you know, shooting the glizzy shooter out there, right, shooting the glizzy gun out there, you know what I'm saying?
So he did it naked, Corey.
I'm objective.
Glizzy gun.
He was having a good old time, and he ain't want me to kill these boys. Stop sticking to the Saquon contract.
For what?
Because, man, when we sit here and we talk about, like you know, what was the question? Like, what is our one thing with this team? My thing.
What keeps you up at night?
I got two. You said what?
What's your one thing that keeps you up at night? I know everyone has more than one, but what's the one?
I got a topper, and then I got a play. Like the lower end players need to stick their game up. Like, I get it. Everybody want to put the pressure on Bryce Harper. Spike, you number one Bryce Harper hater. You are all he got to do this.
That's not fair.
You know what I'm saying? But we got.
I never blamed him for
last year. Alec Boehm, I don't need you crying. If you're not going to produce, you up here worrying about being traded. I need you to hit the baseball. You were an all-star at one point, and then you were terrible. We bench you, and then you on the bench crying. We could have sent you down to the Reading Phillies, but we ain't do that. You know what I'm saying? You was playing like we should have. You know what I'm saying? Bryson Stott, that's my guy. Buckeye fan. I need more out of you. Last year or 2 years ago, when we went to NLCS, you played well. You was hitting the ball well. You had the hit streak going on. All this just hit every game. And then last year, you took a step back. The lower end guys that they are relying on, the Brandon Marshes, the Francisco Rojases, you know what I'm saying? That guy, we need that guy to step up. You know what I'm saying? Like, if he's going to be in the starting lineup, I can't just be like, oh, well, he's a good defender. I can't put all the pressure on the Schwarbers and the Bryce Harpers and these dudes wanting to carry the team when you got other guys lower in the lineup. I need
Tommy Edman was NLCS MVP last year, Corey. Point that out, please.
Well, that's a Dave Dombrowski issue, but because his Tommy Edman was
Austin Hayes.
Austin
he had
Hayes.
A kidney issue.
Oh, right. Well, even when he didn't have a kidney issue, he had the ball won't go over the wall unless it's by 1 inch.
You know what he needed? He needed Bluetooth.
He did. Here's my issue, Corey.
We put a lot of pressure on Bryce Harper, and I get it. He's the best player. He's the best player on the team. But like when you but look, Shohei Ohtani, the best player on the Dodgers. I see Freddie X stepping up. Freddie Freeman coming. I need my other guys to support my best player. I can't have my best player always have to. He can't be the best guy every single game, every single playoff series.
And Corey knows this so well because of what happened to his quarterback all year.
Right. Everybody else carried him.
Hey,
yeah.
Hey, and then when they needed my quarterback to step up and he not to carry the load all year, he would deliver for you.
He was
right
very
along.
Fresh.
You're
right. Yeah.
Exactly.
All right, Corey.
Exactly.
Yeah. I appreciate the call, man. I don't agree that you can point to the eight hitter. I do agree it's about more than Bryce Harper.
Yes.
But to me, it's not the jump from Bryce to
Johan Rojas.
It's about the jump from Bryce to Trey
and
Nick and JT and
it can't just
Castellanos.
You can't win a playoff series with two guys going off.
No.
And that's what it was last year. Castellanos and Bryce were the two only guys that showed up in the Mets series.
The only guys. Yep, I agree. And
Cassie, that was a shocker.
Yeah, but dude, he's a big game guy.
He is.
So proved
to me. If we had that guy in 22, we're world champs right now.
And on the Saquon thing,
then we have him in 22.
No, but we had this version.
I mean
of
that
Bryce.
Version. Yes, yes.
On the Saquon thing, if it's not a cap issue, I just don't want to hear. You know what's going to happen? I guarantee you, Eagles Insider of the Year thing. In the next year, Lurie's going to sell another small part of the team. Because this is he throws a lot of cash out front. They generating cash by selling a small part of the team. What did he sell, 8% last year? He's going to end up selling more, and this will allow them to reward players without hurting the cap, and it just ends up being cash. If it's not a cap issue,
sure.
And this isn't a team that cries poor ever. I just don't want them. As long as they don't cry poor, nah, and it doesn't hurt the cap, I don't care how much they give these guys.
Yeah, I'd be shocked at that. Howie, this one thing he does is know how to work that salary cap.
Yeah. If it's not a cap issue, yeah. I do think eventually Lurie ends up selling another small part of the team from a cash perspective. But that is the thing that you have to give him credit for.
We gotta get our money up, man.
Yeah, no problem with that, dude.
How much we need?
Well, I don't know. $36 million? You could sell 0.0001% of the team is $36 million. So, all right, coming up next.
What do we get to do?
Oh, well.
Go to the cafeteria. I'm trying to figure out, what do we get for our $36 million? Free tickets to the game? A suite?
Our $36 million?
Yeah. Well, we're going to buy a portion of the team.
Oh, us.
Yeah, I'm saying us. We got to put our money together.
We're going to need more than $36 million to buy a portion of the Eagles.
I thought you said we needed $36
million. No, I thought you said that's how much they needed to pay Saquon to buy a portion of the team. All right, the team's worth $11 billion. I'd say we need at least half a billion to buy a small part of the 5% of the team.
We need $500 million?
At least to buy a significant portion of the team.
Well, I mean, was he selling off 1%, 2%?
He sold 8% the last time. At probably a higher multiple. I bet he's selling it at $15 billion valuation or something. People are paying extra.
So 8% is going to be what? That's 1 point. Yeah, that's what.
I bet they spent $1.5 billion on that 8%. That would be my gut.
Where's Lakin?
That would be my gut. Yes. We need a raise, all of us.
Man.
Big, big, big raise. All right, coming up next, Woo. Tom McCarthy joins us. We are at spring training for the Phillies. Spring training coverage brought to you by Surfside Iced Tea and Vodka, proud partner of the Philadelphia Phillies. It is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Coming to you from BayCare Ballpark here in Clearwater for Philly spring training. Our spring training coverage brought to you by Surfside Iced Tea and Vodka, proud partner of the Philadelphia Phillies. I feel like I could use T-Mac's help on this. Tom McCarthy joins us, NBC Sports Philly. I was just saying to one of our devoted listeners, I personally need to get better at broadcasts like this. I'm very good in the studio where everything is where it is, right? But here, people are yelling,
But for how many years did you make people go out and do this kind of stuff?
I know.
You should get really good at it.
But see, here's the thing, Tom. I can tell you, I did all I could to not have them out there.
Oh, really?
I wanted them in the studio.
I like it. I like having, the studio audience. I like having the energy of people around me. It's funny, when we do the open sometimes on TV, we'll have visitors come into the booth. And I've gotten Mike Schmidt to the point where he's okay with all these people being around because he gets so nervous about having people around.
Right.
And so I like having people around. I do.
You like doing you guys do a game right out in center field?
I love doing the game in the stands. I think it's one of the greatest things we've ever done.
Us a great moment.
You know, honestly, catching the hot dog the next year with the net from the Fanatic was harder than catching the baseball. It was the weirdest thing in the world.
Yeah.
But I love being out in the stands. I love being out in the stands. Hmm.
So here we are. You're looking ahead at a 162-game season.
Mm-hmm.
I would imagine when you're going into a season, in your brain, you're thinking, this is the kind of season it's going to be. You know, when you're sitting here, when you're looking out at this season, What do you feel this kind of season is for the Phillies?
Well, I feel like, you know, obviously people wanted more additions made in the offseason, right? But my understanding going in was I thought we needed this, this, and this. And I felt like they accomplished that. I really did. Because otherwise, if they were going to get anything more, they would have had to trade, let's say, Alec Bohm, Bryson Stott, one of those guys, Nick Castellanos. There's a couple guys I don't know if they could have traded because you can't have $20 million at every position. You just can't do it. So I love the Lizardo pickup. I think it was an outstanding pickup. I actually like the under-the-radar Joe Ross pickup. I think that's going to be a great bridge from the rotation to the bullpen. I personally did not think we were the team to beat in the division last year. I still think we're the team to beat in the division this year. Even with the success the Mets had last year, how they got better with Soto, I still think we're a better team.
And the Braves will be, you would assume, would be healthy this year.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think they lost a lot with their pitching staff. I really did. I don't know how you guys feel about that. But I think they lost a lot with their pitching staff. And I think it's tough to underscore that. They're going to start a rookie at catcher for the first 6 weeks of the season. And I think that's going to be a big deal for them, too. But I still think we're positioned well. Again, to me, it's what are you going to do in the postseason? And I think that's the biggest thing.
Right. And you being down here, do you feel, we've only been down here for a day, and we talked to Larry Boa earlier, and he said they seem bothered by how
last year. Oh, they're bothered.
Okay.
They are bothered by it. I think they're bothered. People ask about the chip on the shoulder. I think it's like a cavern on their shoulder. I really do. I don't think they'll tell you that. But I do think internally they feel like they have something to prove. I really do. Again, there's so much luck that's involved with winning a World Series. There's a lot of luck that's involved in winning the Super Bowl. I just think that they feel like they have left a lot on the table the last couple of years.
Yeah, what are some of the, I guess, storylines you're looking sort of to dive into as the season goes along?
I think today was one of the storylines, Ranger Suarez and what he's going to do for a full year. He pitched well today. This was the first time he was out on the field. I think Lizardo healthy is a really big storyline. And I just think the consistency of this lineup and who's going to bat leadoff. I think the leadoff part of it is a really important piece and how that's going to then filter down the rest of the lineup. I think what you saw today, I don't know if Bohm would hit third, but I do think there could be some semblance of what you saw today as far as the Philly. I think Schwarber's going to be batting cleanup for the team. Jack, do you think Schwarber's going to bat cleanup?
Why are you saying that? Makes me excited. Yeah. It's the correct lineup.
It feels like the natural lineup.
It's your correct lineup.
Well, and in my opinion.
I understand how many games you've won.
Well, 2-0 in the high school playoffs.
No, but I do think the way they're leaning right now, that this is the way it's going to look. I could be wrong, but I think Rob's going to lean that way.
Who is the make or break Philly?
That's a really good question. I want to say it's Alec Bohm in a lot of ways because I do think that it's important for him. I mean, he had 97 RBIs last year.
Yeah. And that's with, a 3 RBI June or July?
Yeah. So, but I think that those guys are the keys to this team, those offensive players. I think the Stotts, the Bohms. You know, I don't want to – I think I feel like my dad when I say it. I'm not worried about the other guys. I'm not. I really am not.
Sure.
But I think those guys – I think Stott, Bohm, you know, those pieces are really important to the success of this team.
Tom McCarthy with us, NBC Sports Philly. Of course, you can hear him during the game. So we talked about going into a season, you think it's going to be one thing.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you think it's going to be one thing, and it's a complete other thing in the bad way.
Yeah.
Like the Philadelphia 76ers right now. So Kate's got Ala Abdelnaty go in there and are watching, doing this train wreck. How, as a broadcaster, how do you call those games? Not be, you can't do what we're doing, right?
Right.
And destroy the team every time.
You can't really make it a talk show. You really can't.
Right.
I always tell young broadcasters that too. Talk shows are talk shows. I think when you're doing a game, you do the game. I believe, and I did this, we did this, what, for a decade? I mean, they were not
sure,
good for a
yeah.
decade.
Yep.
Yeah.
I thought every game was a totally different canvas. That's how I went into it. So I tried to find storylines that would make it interesting for the listener without being abusive of, you know, of being the team's voice, because we're all homers, whether we think we are or not. Mm-hmm. But I try to be as objective as I can. Sometimes it doesn't come across that way. I get that. But I do try to be as objective as I can.
What do you think of the ABS system?
I love it.
Just explain to the audience what that is real quick.
So the automated ball and strikes.
I think it's tremendous.
And it's really fast.
It's way better than I thought it was going to be. I think it's exactly what I wanted it to be. It's like tennis. When a ball is in or out in tennis, I don't know how many people watch tennis anymore, but it's like that, and it's way faster. I do believe that Major League Baseball, like they wanted to make sure it worked before they did anything. I think it works, and part of me wonders if they're thinking in their head, man, we should have just left it open to having it this year. They can't because of the umpires and the players and stuff like that. I think it's tremendous.
Yeah, it's like the...
It's not intrusive. It's not.
And there's still the human aspect. And there's going to be strategy of using the challenges too early.
No doubt.
You know,
it won't be like Trey Turner challenging Max Scherzer on the first pitch just because he wanted to bust his chops.
So. And you think that's better? That so the NFL this year is basically going to do the first down electronically.
Correct.
So you think the ABS system is better than, hey, we have this system to tell them whether it's a ball or a strike. Let's just do that.
I think that, I believe that, and believe me, I'm old school. I don't believe in a lot of changes of the rules. I think this is going to work. And I know that the umpires might be a little offended. The other day, we had like nine of them.
Oh, is there no limit on what they can do in
spring
training?
So you get two.
Oh, but if you
get it right.
If you get it right,
wrong,
you keep going.
Right.
So this poor umpire, he turns around and goes, the batter is challenging the ball call, like that. And he would get it right. And I can see it in his head. I can just picture it going. That's right. Pounding his chest in. That's right. I got it right. That's right.
They're going to start fist bumping.
Exactly.
Yeah, I don't know how you don't.
I would love for that. I would love to see some more emotion with some of these guys. Like when they do they put the PA on, they'll go, the Phillies are challenging the safe call at first. And then when he gets it wrong or right, the umpire goes, yeah, we were right about that one. Yes,
he's out. Yeah, steal a little, what are the bananas or whatever?
Yeah,
bananas.
Well, that would drive a lot of people crazy. But yes, something like that.
Not too much.
Yeah,
Come on, Jack
doesn't like
the
bananas.
Absolutely
he's a hater.
Not.
You're young. I'm old. I like it. You should.
I'm an old soul.
Yes.
Father of two, Tom. Father of two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Father of four. What does that mean?
Yeah, exactly. What does that mean?
Do you think the Philadelphia fan base today is different than they were 20 years ago, and if so, how?
Well, I think I would say no, they're not different.
Okay.
The only reason I think they're different is because they have more of a platform to voice their opinions.
Okay.
They have talk radio, they have social media, but I do believe this is the way it was, but it was in the privacy of their homes, at their pub, on the street, whatever it was. I think it's one of the most educated sports groups in the entire country. And you and I mean, Spike, you and I are both up in the New York area for a couple of years.
Yep.
I think that it sets itself aside from the other cities on so many different levels. And that's what I love about it.
Yeah, I mean, I said it when I was up there to my coworkers. New York's a good sports city. It's not Philadelphia.
It's not even close. Different about it. I mean, listen, they're passionate. But up there, you're a Yankee fan, you're a Mets fan. You're a Jets fan, you're a Giants fan. You're a Knicks fan, you're a Nets fan. You're a Devils fan, Rangers fan, Islanders fan. Here, you're a Philadelphia fan. Like, that's the it's all against everybody else. Up there, it's me against you, you know, that type of thing. I just think it's I think they're the same. I just think they have more of a platform.
Yeah, there's a wave that happens in Philadelphia that doesn't happen in a lot of other cities. I think Boston is the only one that's similar.
That's exactly right. If you go to a Red Sox game, I don't know about Patriots. I've never sat in the stands at a Patriots game. I've only done them on television or radio. But I've been at a million Red Sox games. You can hear it. It's very similar to it. It really is.
The Dodgers are doing. Do you think that baseball at some point will say, come up with something, whether it's the deferred money thing, and say, hey, maybe not?
So we have this conversation all the time in my house. Because I've got, obviously, baseball guys in my house. I am shocked that nobody has stepped in and said, hey, man, you can't do this. Or nobody else has said, hey, man, let's do this. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I don't know if they'll ever step in and change it. I do think that there's conversations about how they're doing it, and you may hear it ring a little bit more truer around the sport world for teams that can do it. I don't know who else can do it, though, financially. I really don't. The Guggenheims, I mean, there's a lot of money involved there.
It's endless money, basically.
It's endless money, and I'm wondering if anybody can match it.
I actually think on some level it's good for the sport. I think when LeBron went to the Heat, I think it created an enemy for everyone to shoot for.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, when the Cowboys were great in the 90s and the Patriots, I think baseball having one team that everyone's trying to take down, unless they rip off five straight World Series or something, which we all think is incredibly unlikely.
I agree with that.
How baseball works. I think it adds a little bit of sizzle for people who don't quite follow baseball in an everyday way.
Well, so I think if you have a best-of-seven series, obviously you can maintain – you can control the pitching a little bit. But I believe that this staff can match up against that staff. If healthy, and if they potentially do what they do. And I think that's a really big key. Now, it's funny. The other day I'm watching their game, and like they have the kid Kim from Korea, who I'm like, well, where did they get him?
They have too many.
It's where are all these people going to play? They're not all going to play. So
Who's kind of caught your eye early in spring training?
Well, Rincones is unbelievable. And I don't know what he's going to be. I have no idea. I remember when he came here 3 years ago, and he was spindly. He was like 200 pounds. He's 240 now.
Oh, he looks like a football player.
Oh, he looks like a football player when you stand next to him. I'd be interested, Ike, if you stand next to him, honestly, and what your thought. He just looks – he's totally changed his body. To me, he's really – I think he's opened up. And that's obvious, I think, because he's hitting all these home runs. But even his batting practice, if you sit and watch his batting practice, I don't know if he can play defensively every single day. I mean, I'm hoping he can. But I think this is enticing to see him, Aiden Miller, Crawford, these guys, and what they're able to do. And Painter hasn't even thrown yet, but everybody that I've talked to said, just wait.
I stood next to Lizardo.
Lizardo's a big dude.
I felt a little ashamed of myself.
Yeah, a little too good looking.
Put together pretty
good.
Very
fit.
He had his arms out. I was like, damn. Dude,
seriously, though, but if you put yourself in an age group of fit, you're in a good spot. Like, if I put my age group in fit,
I guess you're right.
I'm not really in a good spot. Like, seriously. I mean, Jack's an old soul, but if he put himself in fit, I mean, he could probably outrun everybody, marathon-wise.
Not today.
I guess.
Down 20, everyone's talking about it.
From an endurance standpoint, he's certainly not.
What did you say?
I said, I'm down 20, everyone's talking about it.
Everybody in your household?
A lot of buzz.
As long as you have their ear?
Yeah.
A lot of buzz.
You know who's talking about it?
Jack, this guy.
Yeah, just making sure everyone knows.
I got somebody he's not in my household, but he's talking about himself being down 22.
Listen, me and Pat are locked in.
Listen, here's the thing. I've been down 22, up 72, down 85. I don't want to hear it.
No disrespect, but you're kind of like the Andy Reid of broadcasters.
As far as weight goes?
Yeah, it goes. Andy Reid comes into camp. You know, and then the season goes on.
Do
I look that big sometimes?
See, that's
not anymore.
Exactly. You're nowhere near coach.
Well, there was a time where I was kind of getting out of control.
Andy Reid's like three of you.
Wow. Jack, don't you get too comfortable.
Yeah, I am a little comfortable. Yeah. I was up at 3:30 this morning.
Yeah. By the way, it's not 20. It's more like 15. And I think everybody's talking.
Well, it's trending back towards 20. I had a stomach bug last week.
Okay.
That's all water weight, man.
I know.
Last thing on Rincones, we were actually on the field for batting practice today, and I said to Jack, physically, when he was standing at batting practice, he reminded me of Dutch. Like, physically, that's what he looked like.
There is a look of it. I mean, there is a look of it. He's banged up last year. Got to stay healthy, but I think there's a lot of optimism. I think there is. I mean, Rob Thompson doesn't say too much about too many guys. I don't know what Boa said about him. Did Boa talk about him at all?
No, he was specifically high on Lizardo and Chris Sanchez. Those are the two guys he brought up.
Chris Sanchez the other day. I mean, you want to talk about somebody who's taken a total 180, and he's always been a great kid, but like confidence-wise,
All right.
Pretty cool.
T-Mac, we appreciate your time.
Appreciate you, brother.
Yeah.
Jack,
did you have the day off today?
Thank you.
I did.
Thank you.
Ike, I'm telling you, I am bored out of my mind. I literally am bored out of my mind.
You want to take some phone calls?
Sure, I'll take a phone call. Murph goes, you want to take some innings? I said, nah, it's cool. I don't want to take.
He needs the work.
I don't want to take your bike away. Listen, I'll find something to do.
Hey, one's got to go. Ross Tucker or John Kruk. You can only work with one. Just kidding.
You know what I will tell you? There are some similarities to it, to be honest with you. I mean, there are. One's trending toward the other. That's all I have to say.
Oh, wow.
I'll just tell you, I'll put my vote in. We keep John Kruk at all costs. Kruk is here at all costs.
Enough of the Tuck spreads.
Although I will say that that Tucker's got a better beer fridge than Kruk does at this point.
Oh, he's very proud of his beer.
Oh, he's very proud of it.
Very proud.
He's very proud of it. Yeah.
Oh, we got a ball.
Who went yard?
Okay.
Who did it?
Here we go. These two calls.
You better give it to a little kid. All right. There we go.
Tom All right, guys. McCarthy. Thanks, bud.
I appreciate you.
Jack, best of luck with your weight loss.
Hey,
are you wearing corduroy shorts?
Yeah.
I wore OPs when I was younger, but that was like 35 years ago.
Again, old soul.
Corduroy shorts. Is he wearing sandals?
No, I didn't. I saved everyone my Birkenstocks.
No, he's wearing
Allbirds.
Allbirds. Yeah. I can't wear them anymore. I'm off the side.
I'm a tech bro.
Yeah. That's Jack.
How do you put up with yes, this? Yes,
I'm used to it, man. Yes.
All right, boys,
I just hate when he brings it outside amongst company. Yes.
The Twitter question is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. Mark's Jewelers, not just our jewelers, not just jewelry resellers. Experience
Thanks,
the difference at marks-jewelers.com. What worries you the most about this Phillies season? The lineup going cold, the bullpen, or the manager? 82.8% at the lineup going cold.
Yep.
Bullpen
that at sounds 40, about right.
Yeah, sounds about right. Coming up next, hey, it's baseball. We are in Clearwater. We might as well do the High Hopes Jackie Baseball Report. And Jesus Luzardo, who we just talked about, will join us at 4:30. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.